All right, so this is Advanced Rivendell.
Right now, we have a lot of people outside playing vehicle roulette.
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
I just played music with vehicles with mine, so I just...
Did you take it down to the parking lot?
No, I just parked it on the other side of the street, and I'm just gonna...
I'm just gonna move it again
in a couple hours anyway, so... You know,
thank you very much.
I didn't see any chalk marks on the vehicle, so...
No. I can't imagine I came up with all that stuff. It's kind of amazing. You need a real budget to do that.
Real budget.
Thanks. This town doesn't seem to have a lot of surplus of funds.
Oh, my goodness.
The town loses a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's why they do it.
The city's going to keep losing money like that.
So here are some of the things that I'm going to talk about, but I want this to be... Since you guys are here, I want this to be geared toward your station. And I'm happy to stick around a little later. I'll be here, you know, I can stick around all afternoon. And we can go into some details on your station.
I'd love to do that.
Okay. What I'm going to talk about is using macros in Rivendell. Rivendell has its own sort of programming language. It's pretty simple to use. It's not like you're going to have to learn how to use Python and JavaScript and all that stuff. Don't worry about that. Talk about voice tracking so that you can have a live sound to your station even though it's automated. We'll talk about sending data out like to update your stream or if you've got the RDS add-on to your transmitter. And then we'll talk about, sort of in conjunction with macros, we'll circle back around and talk about connecting Rivendell to other things in the real world. Most importantly, setting markers and cuts. I was listening to your station the other day, yesterday, and it sounds like you're just transitioning from cut to cut to cut.
I admit.
What I'll teach you how to do is to make that a little bit tighter if you want. You don't have to. So that it sounds a little bit more intentional. That's the way I play.
It sounds more like the music is consistent.
Yeah.
There's no gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed that too when I was listening.
Mm-hmm. You're too much air between?
Too much gap, yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes you sound more like music choice than a local radio station.
So what's the acceptable, like, a couple of seconds between cuts?
It's totally up to you how you want to do it.
I mean, is there a convention?
No, it's really up to how you want to do it. What I like to hear is a little bit of overlap between songs. Yeah, a little bit of crossfade, but not a lot.
Yeah.
And then, but for tracks that end really hard with a cold ending, I like to have the next thing start pretty quickly, without a lot of pause.
Split second kind of thing.
Yeah. So let me talk about what cuts are, and I'm sorry, cut markers are. And for some reason, my slides are all screwed up. They're just doing what they want here. I wonder if hitting the space bar would be better. Weird. Cut markers are metadata that are stored in the Rivendell database. So much like track title, artist, album, genre, all your scheduler codes, cut markers are... they're stored in the database. They're not stored with the actual audio file. They're stored in the database. And they're arbitrary markers, some of which are just informational for your use only. Some of them actually affect how the piece plays out, how the cut plays out. So this is the editor interface that you see. It's kind of like a regular editor, but you can't actually... change the waveform or anything like that, like you can with an editor, an audio editor. What this is for is to give you a reference for setting markers. So in this instance, what we have is cut start, which is usually the beginning of the cut. We have cut end, which is usually the end. But if you have silence in your card or in your cut,
Or if, like, you got one of those songs where in the beginning they do some talking.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like that,
right. or if there's a super quiet intro that, you know, probably would never get heard by anybody on the station anyway, you can move that marker, the cut start marker, anywhere you want. Actually, you know, you could stick it way over here if you want. And similarly, you can put the cut end marker anywhere you want. So you can change when it plays on the air via RD AirPlay. You can change where Rivendell will start playing in the cart. Let me just get through this, okay? There's all these other markers as well. You can fade the cut up and down if you want. Typically, you would put that in the beginning. Let's say you have a live track with applause that starts hard. You may want to fade that up so that when you transition from the previous song, it's not a, all of a sudden you start hearing applause. You can fade that up. And similarly, at the end, if you have something where the applause ends hard, which sounds unnatural to me, right? You can have Rivendell fade it down when it transitions to the next the next cut.
And it basically goes from that cut all the way to the end.
Yep.
And that cut from the beginning all the way to the cut.
Exactly. Yeah, so wherever you place the fade up, it'll start at zero and fade up to full volume at fade up, and it starts at full volume and fades to zero. So these are typically placed, fade up is typically placed pretty near the beginning, and fade down is pretty typically near the end.
Would it do it to the cut, or will it do it to your start marker? So say, you know, if I... It's got the audio.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I'm trying to remember. I think it's start. It'll do it to your start marker.
Start.
Yeah. Okay. It does what makes most sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question. The blue markers are, they control that little countdown clock in RD AirPlay. You can actually have it. So I've got the talk start set at cut start here, and I've got talk end right here. So that's where you have like an instrumental introduction. And if you want to guide your announcers and allow them to talk over the beginning of a song, you know, this is very typically used on Top 40. People will talk over the intro at a little bit lower level, although this doesn't lower the volume. All it does is affect that countdown timer so that the on-air host knows when they should shut up and the vocals in the piece are going to kick in. So that's one that doesn't really affect the playout at all. It just triggers the timer on the screen.
So what does it exactly do? It makes the beginning part.
It doesn't do anything to the audio. It just, there's a, in Rivendell RD AirPlay, there's a little countdown timer. It's a circle with a little moving segment that shows how much time you have left before you should stop talking.
So they mean for you to talk, not for a talking file.
Yeah, exactly. It's just for the announcer.
So
it's
the next iteration would be for a talking file, like if you wanted to combine a PSA with that instrumental section or something like that.
Which brings up the next marker, which is the segue start and end. This is kind of the opposite. Segue start and end are the light blue, and they're at the end of the track. If you want to overlap this piece with whatever gets played after it, so you do a little crossfade, that's where you set the segue marker. I've noticed when ripping CDs, the ripper software often leaves a second or 2 seconds of silence at the end, and often at the beginning of the track. Mm-hmm. So setting these markers allows you to tighten up the sound of your station. And it sounds more intentional, like you're really actively affecting the sound of your station.
So then you don't have to go into Audacity and cut off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this actually doesn't modify the audio track itself. It just modifies how it gets played.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So we've got fade up, trim. Talk, segue. These other two, trim start and trim end, allow you to actually essentially permanently delete audio at the beginning and the end.
So that does affect the
Does it affect the... No. I've never used Trim Start and Trim End. I always use Segue. And this is for deleting silence. It might actually affect the audio. It might actually change the audio file. I haven't played with Trim Start and Trim End that much.
I've never used it.
Yeah. The hook start and hook end is, this one is pretty nuanced. In RD AirPlay, there's a panel view where you can put tracks on buttons, and this affects, in that panel view, you can either play the hook or play the entire cut, or the entire cart. And so by setting the hook start and hook end, you could, let's say you have a...
celebrate good times, come on.
And you just want to play that.
Yeah.
You can set that in the cut, and then when you're at the panel, it'll just play the hook. And so if you want to keep tracks intact and, you know, in general play the whole track, like in a log, it'll play the whole track. But in the panel, you just hit that button and it'll play that hook.
And you have multiple hooks? So that you
no, just one hook per cart.
Per cart.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like an intro? What is that?
Yeah, kind of an intro or the most familiar piece of a song.
And then what do you do with it? You just play it and then afterwards it goes into another song?
In the panel, when you're operating the panel, it only plays whichever panel button you press. It's kind of like... an instant tape machine. It's just you play this one piece and nothing else happens. So it's intended for use with a person sitting in the studio with the Rivendell screen right on
a live computer.
From a sampler.
Like a sampler.
So if you want multiple hook samples, you'd have to make multiple carts with one hook to each.
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds like you name that tune.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I can name that tune in 2 notes. Here they are.
I'm very quiet. I want to bring that back. It's the best show ever.
Yeah, totally. The other fun one here is the cut gain. If you import a track that's really quiet or really loud, you can change it here. And again, this doesn't change the audio. It just affects how Rivendell plays
all
it out.
All my Bob Marley tracks play really low.
So you can set that
to everything
here.
Else.
Yeah. So if it's a whole bunch of tracks, you may want to go back and change the actual audio.
Okay.
Which you could do in a batch technique.
Okay.
But it's typically for one-offs. I've noticed that when you download Amy's Democracy Now! From her broadcast site, her levels are really low. And so I've actually gone into it. I actually now increase the gain for stations that I work with who play Democracy Now! Daily. You can increase the gain on import. So you don't have to use this. But if somebody forgets to do that or it's mostly meant for one-offs. You can actually increase the gain right here. And the reason I say it's for one-offs, if you have the whole Marley collection, going through and doing this is kind of tedious.
All right, there's another way to do it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Max, you had a question that I deferred. Did I answer it yet?
Let's see. Still the same card. Can I use the marker to trigger the play of another file? And it sounds like this defaults to the segue
triggering
the next file.
That's
so
right.
If I wanted to do my PSA example, I'd have bet song PSA, like ordered this way, and then I would set my segue back where I want this PSA to trigger. And then I would finish the song and then play the third file in that series.
It'll do it. I do it.
But did I get that right? It would play the third file in that series after the first file ended because I segued to the second file wherever I set my segue marker.
And your segue is shorter than the end of the file.
Yeah, like let's say I did my segue start over here, like this piece, right? So I do my PSA start here, PSA stop. Then it plays the rest of the song. Then it plays the third file, which is the next song.
Yeah.
Because the PSA was scheduled here,
right.
But it played here.
I would experiment. You've done that?
Well, the way I do it is I have like a weather bed
yeah.
that runs under a pre-made you know, which is a dynamic message that updates all the time. So what I will do is I will set a I set up two tracks, you know, two carts. The first one, my thing is running really slow here. I'm having problems, but so what I'll do is I will run. I will put in the first one is I will put the first one I believe is the actual voice track.
The first file in this series.
Yeah, yeah. Let me look and see how I have this done.
Max, I think what you just described would work the way you think it would. I would advise you to do this experiment, but I think it will do what you want to do.
But the key thing that you want to do is that magic button that says no fade, that on segue out.
Oh.
If you use that, it's not gonna fade down the music.
It'll just keep going to the
end. And that's what I use. I also use that button on IDs because I run a lot of jingles.
Yeah.
And so I use that on the ID jingles.
So what does that button do?
What that button does is it will start the next track in your playlist at the point of where you put the segue start marker, but it's not going to fade down the music.
Okay.
So that way you can use that to. So if you have a music bed and then you want to play something on top of it.
Yeah, a dry voice. Like
that's you know that's how you that that's how you do it. And so what I do here, and I found what I'm looking for here.
Doesn't it automatically play without a fade? The challenge is you have to make a special button to fade it.
Because we're doing a segue that ends way before the end of the song.
So what I do
in this
here,
example.
So I don't know if you all can see this or not. I'm going to come up to the front and I'll show it to you especially because...
Do you have HDMI output?
I do.
Why don't you just take the cable?
Oh. Okay, I'll take the cable.
That sounds like a plan.
There you go.
All right, I got Ron's got it.
All right, now I got to find a place to put this down. Simply, where it's not going to get bumped or smashed or broken into about 10,000
pieces. So the segue was waiting for what?
Way before the end.
And therefore,
if you don't check the box, it will turn the first song off.
Yeah.
It will fade it out.
I think
it fades smoothly to the segue end mark.
And then it ends.
And but in Chris's case, he's ending the segue before the track ends, so it'll fade it to zero if you don't check that box, and then the volume will spike back up.
And if you do press a box,
if you click that box, it will be it will maintain its audio level.
I've got it plugged in.
And it won't fade.
That's great.
That's serious. It didn't connect all the pins.
I mean, it won't stop.
One of the pins.
Although it's digital, I wouldn't think that's the.
It's not VGA, right? It's HDMI.
Segue before then it should stop.
Let's let Mitchie describe this.
Yeah, so anyway, what I did here, and it's really hard to see, this is the voice track. Okay, this is, it doesn't show up here, but this is the first of the two tracks that I play. This is the voice track. Now, what I do is I intentionally put a little bit of silence in there first, just because it plays the intro to the jingle and such. But there's a marker right here.
Ah, I see it.
Very,
just barely.
Just barely into the beginning. Let me see if I can scroll that down to see if they can show the numbers of where it's set. There we go. See, you got 2 milliseconds into two milliseconds into the start, and then what I do is I click the no fade on segue out. So that means that 2 milliseconds in, the next track will play, and that's your music bed. And your music bed is slightly longer than this cut. Is so that way you know your music bed. You know.
Hold 1 second. Also note that she hasn't set the segue end, so all this will do is trigger the next cart to start.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do. We want the next cart to start, at that time.
Without stopping this one.
Right.
So you have two songs playing at the same time?
Yeah, basically.
So how could anybody...
Well, one of them is voice, and this, one of them is a, this, like a music bed.
This card is a voice track, and then the one underneath it is a music track. And I specifically have the levels set on the music track, so that way it's intentionally lower. It's in there with the cut gain turned all the way down.
Right.
So that way it sounds a little more professional on the air.
And so what do you do about 30% for your bed underneath the bed?
I don't know what I have it set up. I've tried and tested.
You putz with it, okay?
Yeah, I've putzed with it over the years. This is time tested technology, so. but this is how I do it. And
so you do it backwards from my scenario. You do the do the dry voice first by a few milliseconds, and then the bed.
Right. Now, also too, I know how to manipulate the database in Rivendell. So, you know, I have a program that automatically puts that makes this cart, and then I have another little program. I have another little program that manipulates the database and actually sets that segue start at 2 milliseconds. And that's
the super advanced.
That's Rivendell. Super advanced Rivendell, which we'll probably not get into, but that's awesome. That's how we do it.
That's great. Wow, thank you.
But, yeah, there's... Like I said, this is what I'm saying is that this software is so friggin' flexible.
Yeah.
You can do so much with it. And, you know, once you learn everything, you know, there's probably still a lot more you can do. But, you know, just got to tinker with it.
Right. All right. Oh, this is annoying.
Oh, God. I can stop before it keeps going.
Yeah, right. Any other questions on markers? So, sort of related to markers is the Rivendell macro language. Not really. Rivendell macro language is a facility, you could call it an API or a programming functionality. It gives you the ability to, I like to say, you automate the automation. So you can start and stop logs or playlists. You can start and stop individual carts. You can load a log. You can do switching on your GPIO. You can actually run Linux commands from within Rivendell. Trying to think there. It seems like every release of Rivendell, there's either a macro that's enabled, a new macro that's enabled, or that gets better documented. Mm-hmm. There's about 99 of these right now. So there's a huge number of them, and a lot of them are related to switching, but a lot of them are just general purpose, things that you can do to run...
Where do you get these 99 pre-made macros?
Yeah, here. There's the list of them. This may actually be old. This list is several places. There's a document called the Rivendell Operations Guide, from which this screenshot is taken. The Rivendell Wiki has a really good discussion of all of the Rivendell macros. This is also, I think, one of the best documented aspects of Rivendell. You can find out all the details of what these things do right in the standard Rivendell documentation. You don't actually have to go digging through the source code to find out what they do. So the ones that I use most often are things like load. Oops, stop it. Load log, the start button, that's a programmatic way of pushing a panel button, so you can actually start a panel button via a Rivendell macro. Start log is a pretty common one, stop a log. One that's not listed here is the duck macro, which actually fades a playing piece temporarily over a period of time, and you can use the same macro. It's MD. You can fade down and up with the same macro. RN, run a shell command. That's one that I use in just about all my macros.
So each of these is combined with an option set?
I'm sorry?
Each of these is combined with an option set?
Yes. Yeah.
So suppose, do they make mix boards that will talk to the GPIO output of Rivendell? Or how do you do
you
that?
You know, I was just talking to Pablito about this idea. And I'm not aware of any that do, but this is a project worth pursuing. I mean, his view, this is a bit of a divergence, but we won't spend too much time on it. His view is to take one of those boards and replace this board and make all of your apps on a computer sort of equivalent, right? So right now you've got a channel for your microphone, you've got a channel for your each of your turntables. What if you had a channel for YouTube, you know, a pot on your board for YouTube, or a pot on your board for Audacity or Audacious or whatever your music, you know, your Linux player is. That's sort of the next step, and I'm not aware of any efforts to do that
yet. I've seen virtual mix boards that use those 8-channel sound cards and 16-channel sound cards.
Yeah, so it may be a fairly easy thing to do. Hmm. I haven't done it yet, and I haven't seen anybody that has.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't mean it hasn't been done, though.
Right.
A lot of these are related to GPIO. Most of this column is related to switching and GPIO, as well as a bunch of these over here. You can back up your database with a macro command.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice.
I use the macro commands to put emergency messages on the air. I have something that monitors the Japanese early earthquake warning system.
Wow.
And when it receives a message, we use the RML commands to insert a card and to play it.
Yeah, I use the macros to trigger emergency alert tests. So the weekly tests, you can just put it in a log and it will come up and it won't interrupt normal broadcasting.
That's ideal, instead of playing over. Yeah.
So you can just schedule your EAS test, just like scheduling Celebrate.
Yeah, really.
We can go over more details of this if you want, but I'm just going to move on to the next topic, which is voice tracking. Voice tracking is a really common thing these days. This is how all the big commercial stations do it. When you're listening to a commercial station, you're hardly ever listening to a live DJ. What you're listening to is a guy who was sitting in a studio, a woman who was sitting studio, and they were looking at their playlist, and you know, they'll back announce whatever played previously, they'll talk about what's coming up next, and then move on. That all gets pre-recorded so they can edit out all the ums and ahs and everything, and you know, make it really tight and professional sounding, and then you go on with it. So you can sort of pre-record your programs without actually sitting there and recording the whole 2 hours of the show. Yeah.
We took a trip up to, you know, one of the commercial stations.
Oh, cool. Here,
and the jazz station, guy takes us in. They're using something, you know, they're not using Rhythm Band, but they're using something similar.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I come in every morning, 4 a.m., record my voice tracks, you know, program it all in by 6, 7 a.m. After that, I'm walking around the studio, doing other work.
Yeah, right.
It's like I record my entire day first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And everything you hear is from that.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, at least it got me to understand that you could do that if that's what you wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? We could do that if that's what we wanted. Not that we will, but...
Yeah, I don't know of any community stations that use this. I can imagine some would at some point, but you know, again, it's sort of, it goes against the grain of the live locality.
Unless your volunteers can't show up.
I totally agree. And
well, couldn't you also use the voice tracking for creating your underwriting spots?
You can.
If they're good enough to be one takers.
Yeah.
If that person is good enough to be a one taker, yeah. They could come in the morning. I could have a list of copy out. They could one take it, pop, drop it in.
Just like everything else with Rivendell, there's more than one way to do something.
Right.
This is totally fine. You could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do
voice tracks remain associated with a particular song so that if the automation a week later just creates a playlist on the fly, would the voice track play with that song?
No, voice tracks are ephemeral. They go away when the log goes away.
Oh, so that's why this is not the same thing as schedule.
So now that I remember that, you probably wouldn't want to do a PSA that way, unless it's for a specific day.
Yeah,
if it's really
it's for today, today announcement.
How is this different from scheduling? Because these are both scheduling events of audio.
Yep. When you're scheduling, you place a voice track marker in your clock. Remember the clocks we talked about yesterday?
Yes.
You actually create a voice track event.
Yes.
It gets placed in the clock. When you generate the log, it will create placeholders for the voice tracks.
Okay.
Then you go back at any point after that log is created, you go back and you create your voice tracks, and then those get inserted into the log. What you have to do is you have to create a group. Most people call it voice track.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to allocate enough carts to handle however many days of logs you create in advance. So I typically set up, even though I don't know of anybody that's using it, I'll typically allocate 1,000 carts for the voice track group. But the key is that they get reused when that log is done. So the voice tracks go away. They're not permanent.
Mm-hmm. So the scheduler reuses and the voice track one shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder why the commercial guys don't do it the other way with scheduler. Because then they don't have to do the work twice or three times or however many.
Oh, I think they do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the value of voice track if I could just use scheduler for...
Well, voice tracks are meant to be, Well, the thing is that every time you create a log, you're using your music library and stuff gets placed in a different order. So this voice track right here that's up on the screen, this song is Stone Temple Pilots, and we don't know, what came before this. So here's the voice track, here's this song right here, line 10129. So we can see also that Pick Yourself Up and Beautiful Day came before that. So we would announce these three tracks, right?
Huh.
So that's what this is. This voice track is saying, hey, you just heard Down and Pick Yourself Up and Beautiful Day. And coming up next, we've got Birdhouse in Your Soul, Mr. Brightside, blah, blah, blah. That next track is right here. And so the voice track gives us the ability, we've got a segue marker, so we can be really tight if we want to, the voice track, and then the next track in the playlist. So this is just, when we create the log, this voice track is just a placeholder.
Hmm.
And it's going to be different for every log. So we wouldn't want to have this be a permanent thing.
Right, because it's back announcing that three previous events.
Yeah.
Okay,
and this log, you come, you could theoretically have the same announcement.
You could, but it'd be three songs in a row that same way.
Yeah, right.
A log is fixed, though. Isn't the log always has a certain order, though, right?
Oh, I know. Yes, but the log is for a specific day. This is tomorrow's log.
I see.
And then, Wednesday's log is going to be completely different.
So if you want to repeat it, the voice sounds like you'd make a separate cart.
If you wanted to repeat the exact announcement.
If you had something you were going to use a lot, you'd make a separate cart.
Yeah,
wouldn't be the tool.
That's right. Exactly.
So is there a limit to how long you can do this? How long the track can be?
Nope.
No, really, it's just...
Yeah.
It's just one-off tool.
This could be...
So
minutes.
You can also specify songs here, whereas I'm under the impression that scheduler randomizes the songs.
That's right. Yeah, so at this point...
That's a specific reason. You can't pre-announce three songs that were randomized.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time you're doing this, the order of the tracks is fixed for this specific day.
This is like the last thing you do.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people voice track 5 minutes before the actual voice track is going to go on the air. they you know, so that they can talk about the weather and it'll still be pretty fresh.
The main purpose of this is that it shouldn't have the ums and this. And
yeah, right. So if you and it can be fight with respect to
music. I'm under the impression
music.
That the main reason for this is you want to play a specific series of songs in a specific order.
Yep.
Or some events. You want to play, I'll say events instead of songs. Do you want to play a specific audio event in a specific order, not a randomized audio event from a group?
This has already been randomized.
Yeah, this is...
The order is... It already did that... What? It's not really randomized. The rules have been applied.
Yeah, following the rules, right.
Yep. And so this is fixed.
Yeah, but it's also... I'm choosing the songs. In Scheduler, it's choosing the songs based on those...
The Scheduler created this.
Oh, all right. I misunderstood.
Yeah, well, and the Scheduler could be Mitchie's custom-written app that scheduled it, or it could be Rivendell's Scheduler, or it could be Natural Log, which is a commercial scheduler.
So Rivendell can create a log for me.
Yep.
So... I am out of a bunch of random songs.
Yep.
And I can come in, or I can have somebody come in the morning. Rivendell's, hey, this is what we're going to play today.
Yep.
And then they look back and voice track and drop those in because it created the log.
Yes.
But you need to leave gaps. How do you do that?
That's an event that you put in your clock, yeah. Which we talked, if you remember, we talked about it yesterday.
We just plant little gaps here and there and fill them up with.
Yep.
I should
have been. Now I'm hearing it different than I heard it earlier. Is this the creation of or the result of a series of audio events that you wanted to happen?
This is the result of.
So this is a log?
Yes.
Okay, to me, voice tracking is an active thing. Now I'm hearing a passive voice that it resulted from.
No, the passive stuff is that the order of these carts was picked at some point in the past.
Okay?
That was an action as a result of the events that were placed in those clocks and in that grid.
Okay, and I created that grid or clock based on the rules or based on me choosing particular songs?
Based on the rules. You set the rules, and when we actually created this log, it followed those rules and picked these tracks.
What kind of rules are you talking about?
Don't play two female artists back to back. Don't play two heavy metal songs back to back. Well, we didn't get into that kind of detail.
Okay.
Or, follow a legal ID with a heavy rotation song. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of rules that I'm talking about. It takes a little bit of time to develop those because you want to
make up your own rules.
You make up your own rules. It's a blank slate, and it's entirely station specific. It's how you want your station to sound. So you created those rules. You placed the events that represent those rules in a clock, and then you go and generate. And so you string a whole bunch of clocks together to make a day's worth, 24-hour.
How much is a day, a clock? How much time is a clock?
A clock is 1 hour.
A 1 hour.
Yeah. And a log typically represents 24 clocks. And you can have the same clock be used in all 24 hours if you want your station to sound utterly the same.
The definition of a log is 24 hours.
Yes.
Whoops.
Can you shuffle these around if you don't like the order?
Yeah.
I mean, after it's been generated, you can still move that log around.
Yes. You don't do it right here. Oh. There's a log editor app.
Okay.
I have a log that I make with Rivendell, and it seems that the length of the log is just as long as the length of all the songs. If I put a song 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes,
you
add it all up, that's the length of the log. Now tell me it's 24 hours.
No, what you're doing is you're hand placing those things in that log, right?
Right.
Rivendell has the capability to generate that log based on rules. And when you ask Rivendell to do that, it's
fill up 24 hours.
Yeah, it wants to do 24 hours at a time. It can be shorter if let's say you're live from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. You actually have somebody sitting in the studio, and you don't want to use Rivendell at all for that time, or you want to use the panel and have people push buttons one at a time. But my point is, you're live, you're not on automation. Your log could go from midnight to 6 a.m. and then from 8 p.m. to midnight. So you could have a big gap in your log.
With the same log, just picking up from where it left off.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Once you set up the clocks and the rules, Can you make it create a log for a week or 2 weeks?
No, you have to create daily logs. Daily. And you can create those as far in advance as you want.
How many logs?
So they're daily, but you can still create lots of them.
Yeah.
Okay. How many days of 24 hours can you make?
As many as you want.
A whole year?
Sure. If you want to.
Really?
Yeah. It typically wouldn't because stuff changes over time. And so most stations create tomorrow's log sometime today. And then that gives them time to go through that log. And with RD log edit, Ron, you can go and reorder things if you want to tweak it just a little bit.
So when you see it, it goes into RD library and pulls out
yep.
the log?
Yep.
Based on the rules?
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Once it starts playing, can you start editing, like he's asked, can you reorder the songs after it starts already?
Yes,
playing?
Yes, you can.
But then you have to reload the log, right?
There's actually an option in the RD AirPlay setting in RD Admin to automatically refresh the log if you edit it. So you don't have to manually refresh it. And I always turn that on. I don't know why you wouldn't want to have that enabled.
Right. Yeah.
So I always turn that on. I don't know why that's
good. Refresh it each time so that it's like as if it started again.
Yes, but it won't actually start over from the beginning. It'll just continue from where it left off. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it does the right thing.
But it's not a default.
The default is
mine,
not
you have to
log.
Refresh it. If you change it,
yep.
it's going to keep playing what you have.
Yeah, exactly.
So where's that checkbox?
The RD AirPlay app in RD Admin.
Okay.
So you go RD Admin, Manage Hosts. Yeah, that's the one to refresh it manually,
yeah.
right?
That's the one. Yeah.
But there's an option. Can you pull up RD Admin? So in RD Admin, edit hosts or manage hosts, and then for whatever your on-air machine is, you edit that host, and then the RD AirPlay button. So it's RD Admin, manage hosts, RD AirPlay for that host. So whichever is your on-air machine.
It's just
a checkbox. Automatically refresh logs.
So that's RD Admin. It's over here somewhere.
Where are you?
Already played for Chase. That's how you play for Chase.
Where is it? That's a lot of checkbox.
Yeah, I know.
So you said it's an RD Admin.
This is RD Admin.
This is inside, yeah, this is the button when you click on RD AirPlay inside of RD Admin.
Oh, nice.
Can you put that on the screen? Can we see if we look at it?
If we can find it, I can't see it now. What the heck? Go back. I think it might be one before this. Just close this.
Let's see.
What version of Rivendell is this? Oh, you know what? It might be in services instead of hosts. Maybe it's system-wide. Manage services.
Here we go.
Enable auto refresh by default.
Put it on the. All right, so
it's in services.
So RD Admin, not Manage Hosts.
Not Manage Hosts, sorry about that.
What was it again? So RD
Admin, Manage Services.
Services.
And so for the service, so on whichever computer it's running on, for that service, there's a checkbox to enable auto refresh by default.
Whatever computer's running on is called the service? Whatever computer's running on?
No, a service represents a radio station. So for Mitchie, she runs two internet stations.
Okay.
And each one of those stations is a service. Okay. So if WCAA had, if they ran their stream as a separate, if it wasn't a duplicate of their FM, they would have two services. Does that make sense?
So you could run a few different, as many as you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Based on this service.
Yeah, I mean, there are...
Kind of like if, for people, the terrestrial stations that do different internet commercials
yeah.
than they do for the terrestrial.
Yeah, Yeah. Or full power stations. Does LPFM do HD?
Yes, actually.
So if you have a different HD2 channel from your main FM, you might run your HD2 as it's digital radio. You might run that with different programming than your main station. So a service is basically a station. Do we need to put Mitch's computer on the screen, or does everybody have
it?
Yeah.
So the refreshing, when you refresh it, it essentially, what exactly is it doing?
If you make a change while a log is playing, if you make a change with RD log at it, yeah. Once you save that change, RD AirPlay will essentially reload that log without restarting it. So
it absorbs the change.
Yeah, exactly.
It absorbs the change.
Yeah. So if it's 10:30, it's almost 11:30 right now. If I say, at 4:00, I want to run a different song than what got scheduled.
So really, you need to refresh it each time, otherwise it's locked in.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But with auto refresh enabled, it will do it automatically when you make the change.
Auto
refresh by default.
Yeah. It said by default.
I don't even know why that's an option because I guess you might not want to do that, but I can't understand the circumstance in which you wouldn't want to do that.
If you didn't really mean to make that change.
I suppose. Yeah. But you can always back it out and it'll auto refresh again.
Yeah.
Until it plays, right?
Until it plays. The other thing, another thing you could do with Ribbonell is have it update external metadata. And Ribbonell calls this the now and next information. What's playing now and what's coming up next? It won't tell the world what just played a few minutes ago. It'll just say, here's what I'm playing now, and if you want, you can say, here's what I'm playing next. So it's common for people to put that information on the website, on your stream, so that people that are tuned into your stream on their phone, they can see, this is Celebrate. It's our song of the day.
How does it get out of Rivendell into the website?
Well.
Because I would like to send that to RDS.
Yeah. Rivendell has... Oh, it's goofy. Rivendell has this... So this is in RD AirPlay in RD Admin. There's a button called Configure Now and Next Parameters. So this is where we were mistakenly originally looking for auto refresh logs, and it wasn't there, but this is. So we're in RD Admin and RD AirPlay for a specific host. Kaz is my Rivendell computer. That's just the computer name.
You wrote that in Configure 4?
No. This is part of Rivendell. Uh-huh. The only thing that I wrote in was the name of the computer here. That's all. This is all standard.
So everyone could just put 4, the name of it, or whatever, 4 whatever.
Yeah. What's your Rivendell computer name?
Something so stupid
I don't
even want to remember.
Yeah, people don't even remember that stuff. So when you click on the Configure Now and Next Parameters button, you get this this new window pops up, and you can configure things to happen for the master log, the auxiliary log 1, and the auxiliary log 2. I hardly ever use this because this is specifically for sending stuff over the network. You see this IP address stuff and the UDP string and the RML. This is for talking to an external app that is on the network somewhere. So I don't use these top 3 boxes typically. The one I use is down here, this blank slate for loadable modules. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I don't have one displayed here. A loadable module would be separate code. It's a plugin for Rivendell. It's a Rivendell plugin, that you use to communicate with the outside world. So there's an Icecast loadable module. So if your stream is running on an Icecast server out in the internet, mm-hmm. you load the Icecast module plugin in here, and that is configured with all the details about your Icecast server. And so when a new song comes up in Rivendell, it sends that data out to the Icecast server. There's a Rivendell plugin for... I'm trying to think if there's an RDS plugin. RDS is so transmitter specific, or RDS device specific. I'm thinking so.
I'm looking at all my RLMs right now, and I've got one for Spinatron. I've got one. I don't know if I wrote this one or not. There's one for Twitter. I don't know if that still works.
That's a standard one.
Yeah.
It does.
There's Shoutcast, which is one I had to modify. So
there's a Facebook one.
Mine has a Facebook one, Icecast 2, something called Ando, A-N-D-O.
No, I didn't do it like when you're in your car and your car
starts. That's RDS.
I think that's actually what you would use this one for. RDS encoders can sit on your network and you would communicate that data via this.
I thought RDS usually got it by RS-232.
I think the older ones did. But I think modern ones
are on a network.
Are on the network, yeah.
So they don't have an RS-232. They don't have a serial output.
There actually is an RS-232.
I guess that's where I send it.
I think, yeah, yeah.
Where do I find the serial output?
That's in the code in the plugin. So you would enable the plugin down here.
All right, so that's going to be my RS-232 as a plugin.
Yeah.
So that's what you would use RS.
RDS, it's Radio Data Systems. RDBS, I think, is the official term.
So if you click on Edit, you'll pull up the screen to make one.
Yeah.
So I need to find a plugin. Okay, and then I would define the plugin and configure it down here in the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. And typically plugins have their own configuration files. It's just a text file, a flat text file, where you enter the details of the stuff. So you would enter the COM port, the, you know...
Yeah.
Data bits, parity, all that other stuff.
This is for what again?
This is for basically for communicating with the outside world.
Text, communicating text.
Yeah, communicating textual information to the outside world.
This is not audio.
Exactly. This is text. This is the metadata. We're sending the metadata, like the track title, the artist.
And where does it go?
Wherever you want. That's basically what it comes up to. There are plugins.
Twitter, Facebook, or in my case, I wanted to send it to the faceplate of RDS-equipped radios so that you see the artist name or, like, coming up next, Amy Goodman discusses blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, as Musa said, if you're driving in your car and your car is a relatively modern radio, if you're driving around, you can see radio stations send information that you can look at on your radio.
Why is it that certain radios, like you see XM radio, they always have a title?
That's exactly what we're talking about.
But other regular radio does not have it.
Because they don't have it.
One does.
Right, because it's a relatively recent thing. I would say, 10 years?
Yeah, my car's in 2003, and it has.
Does it? Okay. Yeah. So
would you have to do that for every song?
No, this... Well, yes, you do, but this is where you do it, and then Rivendell will... This is where you set it up, and Rivendell does it for you.
Now, this is only metadata. What if I want to send something like, coming up next, Amy Goodman discusses blank?
Then you need to name that file, Amy Goodman discusses blank.
But it's not audio. I'm not doing audio. I'm doing
tags.
RDS.
It's pulling the tags, right?
That's super advanced, Rivendell.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it can be done in Rivendell, but yeah, it's super advanced.
Okay, not for this moment. Okay, right.
That makes sense, though, the way...
And does Amy Goodman's MP3 file have tags?
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's going to say Amy Goodman. Yeah. It's not gonna be like a textual announcement like
right.
I just said.
Yeah, Amy sends relatively good tags.
But it
doesn't say coming up next in it, the way Max wants it to. Talk to Amy.
So you're talking like that's regular. You're seeing something on the radio.
Yep.
Seeing something that comes over. So LPFMs can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be such a major.
As long as your transmitter supports it.
You can.
So what is required?
They sell circuit boards.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That will go into your composite input of the transmitter. So you just need a transmitter that doesn't have only balanced or unbalanced inputs, that has a composite input, then you can send it lots of different things. You can send it a second and third audio channel for, like, reading for the blind, or an alternative, like, different language. Or
A lot of the modern certified transmitters are already equipped with SDM.
Yes, yes, that's right. What's it called? See? RDS, radio data system.
So you have to check if the transmitter has an RDS.
Or by a circuit that sends it to the composite input. Mm-hmm.
Or the circuit sends it by the
check with SCMS, probably, you know, the equipment vendor.
Do you have a transmitter already?
I do.
Yeah, check. Just look in the manual and see if it has RDS capability.
RDS.
Yeah.
Do you think this one does?
I believe it does.
All right.
You got a pretty modern one.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't ask me how we got it.
Mine's so antique, I'm lucky.
Yeah, does RDS pull a little bit of power away from the signal?
It
that
does.
Would affect the
audio? It's pretty small. I want to say less than 5%.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact number.
So it makes the signal small.
Slightly. The audio signal, it detracts from the audio signal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the regular radio...
It might be, yeah.
If we're broadcasting below our 100 watts, we're pushing at like 86, 87. If we put on the RDS, can we push it up a little bit?
Oh, that's a good question.
Excuses to turn it up.
Yeah, right.
You're still putting the same affected radiated power out at the antenna. That's what matters.
That's what matters. Okay.
Darn it.
That was a good one.
Just check.
Yeah, a good question.
But, running RDS or running subcarriers is not going to impact your insertion loss.
My PBS station's doing reading services for the blind, I don't really notice it on their analog from regular over-the-air non-SD.
Okay.
So that's different than RDS.
Yes, but it uses the same concept.
Yeah,
it's a composite input, but yes, it's different.
Yeah, running stereo is going to do it.
There you go.
Yes,
you
that's
know,
right.
Running, if you run mono, you're going to see if you run mono, turn off the stereo subcarriers, turn off the pilot tone.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to hear a little bit of a difference.
I do. But however, I noticed when I did that experiment, because when I first put WRAR on the air, all we had was a mono mix board. So I just combined everything into mono, ran mono, and we didn't upgrade that for like 2 or 3 years. So we were mono for 2 or 3 years, then went stereo. Frankly, it was unnoticeable difference. It's like so slight with all the picket fencing at our height that it just gets absorbed in any interference from multiple
paths. Yeah, that's what I've noticed with WDRT as well. We're 480 watts, and I couldn't discern any difference when I switched to mono.
I think it would only matter if you're like 1,000 feet, I'm exaggerating, 1,000 feet in the air, and you got dedicated fringe listeners that are so far out in the boonies that there's no first, second, or third adjacents, you know, and then you might notice some fringe difference.
Did anybody in here attend Otis's session on the Pacifica tools? So I've written a confessor plugin for Rivendell, so it will send your stuff to the confessor.
Oh, cool.
So if or when you get to the point you start using confessor and Rivendell, hit me up and I'll give you the...
Sorry, I don't know what's confessor.
Confessor is like Spinitron.
Okay.
It's a Pacifica offering. Like Spinitron.
What is that?
And there is a Spinitron plugin as well. So you can say,
what is it? I'm going to get what that is. What is it?
Spinitron and the Copyright Confessor are tools that speak of the devil.
There he is.
Tools to help you with your sound exchange reporting.
And they also provide a playlist.
You must have heard your name mentioned.
No, I was just going to... I've never seen Dave do his show.
Perfect timing.
I've been doing all this other
just talking about.
Sit it one more time.
If you do stream on the internet, your station...
Well, I actually haven't done it yet.
Okay, well then you don't have to pay any attention to this at all.
No, but I am going to be streaming. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so if you stream, you have to pay an annual royalty fee to an organization called Sound Exchange. And
it's like BMI?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So,
but it's specifically for internet streaming.
Okay. Sound Exchange. Yeah.
And along with that annual fee, you also have to submit depending on the arrangement that you have with Sound Exchange, you have to submit specifically what was played during a specific period of time.
So doesn't the log, doesn't there's like a automatically the computer log, it tells you all the information from print out like all that information automatically?
Rivendell can help you with that.
Rivendell.
But if you are there's so many nuances, I don't want to really get bogged down in this, but Rivendell can help you with that. And so can Spinatron and the copyright professor.
Yeah. To help you keep logging.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, Spinatron's my competition. But with the copyright professor, you also get the archive.
And
I'm more fun.
Yay!
Well, you make confessor.
Yeah. It's hooked up with Rivendell, so when you do the stuff with Rivendell, if it's when you're doing any automation, the confessor also will take all of the music and will go in there so that it can be recorded, and it's creating a playlist for your listeners, because people who listen to music want playlists. But it also will take anything else, like PSAs or underwriting and stuff like that, so you can use that underwriting as proof of play for your
And Rivendell doesn't do all this?
Rivendell does.
Yeah.
Rivendell, because it's automated, so if it's, you know, a period of automation when you're running the underwriting announcements through Rivendell, the professor records that, so then you can use that as proof of play for your
But Rivendell can produce that report as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What if you have a DJ that's switching back and forth between Live Assist and records? How do they send that metadata to your confessor? 1 minute they're playing a vinyl record, the next minute they're using Live Assist.
Well, you enter
2 minutes, yeah.
So they manually enter it into like a form that pops up like that.
Okay, thanks.
I'm happy to show it to anybody. I can't get to my own stuff, but I can show you on another station that's using
that. Okay.
We are up against the clock here, and I'm standing between you and food, so let's wrap up here.
Well, you're kind of food. Food for the talk.
Yeah, exactly. The last thing that I wanted to talk about in an overview perspective is communicating more with the outside world. One way you can do this is to have Linux, your operating system, do stuff for you. And you do that with the RN or run macro in Rivendell. You can also use the GPIO devices and Rivendell's GPIO capabilities to trigger physical world things using electrical impulses on various devices. So, for example, there's this teeny little Broadcast Tools 4-channel switcher. You can control this thing with Rivendell. So I have, for example, a station that sends their console output to channel 1, right?
Uh-huh.
And they don't have, well, they actually have a Rivendell channel on their board, but they also have an automation system, a separate Rivendell computer that's always running. And if there's nobody at the station, they just touch a button on the Rivendell panel, and it switches the input to channel 2, and they can walk away and go to their desks, and the radio station is still on the air. There's nobody sitting in the studio.
Is there a way to automate that if they don't even...
You can totally automate that based on time. Sure.
And like a sense of no signal?
Sure, sense of no audio.
Right.
You could totally automate that.
And is that configured in that box, or I got to get another box?
You can... There's several ways to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, all kinds of ways. You can do it with a separate box. This specific model, I don't think, has silence detection, but other models by Broadcast Tools do have silence detection. There's also software that can do it. There are external boxes that can do it. Lots of different ways that you can do silence detection and then take action based on that silence. And also take action if audio returns on a channel.
Yeah. I think that'll happen with City Council a lot.
Yeah. That's it for sort of the overview. There's tons more stuff that you can do in advanced and super advanced Rivendell, but I just wanted to whet your appetite with some of the things that can be done.
Where'd you get the fly pointers, Drew?
That QR code?
The other one?
Yeah, that. If you scan that, that just has my contact information.
Can you tell my phone number? Can you tell Rivendell to download Amy Goodman at 10 a.m. every morning and place it in the log and ready to play at 1 o'clock?
Yes.
Al Davis wrote a script, a get script today.
You don't even need a get script for
that. You don't.
It's built into, it's baked into Rivendell.
And why did Al write a script?
I don't know.
There was a problem with some of the audio port stuff. People were uploading.
You don't need audio port to get Amy.
But you can get it from static, but you can't get it. You really can't count on it until the third hour.
It's been It's been rock solid. If I do it within an hour, and it's been rock solid for years.
You can set a button about H930.
Right.
But you can do that with any other program on audio port. But you got it on audio port. It's there immediately. And audio port, you have a live stream, so if you want to carry it.
If you want to get it.
They're just who hates audio.
I wrote
all this work.
So audio port is slightly different than Amy's direct download site.
Is that what you call static?
Amy's is static, yeah. The site is actually called static.
Really?
Yeah. It's static.democracynow.org.
Huh. Okay.
Audio port, you can't download directly with Rivendell. And the reason for that is that every episode of every show, take a show, This Way Out, every episode of that has a different file name, and it varies in a way that is uncontrollable by Rivendell.
Yes.
So that might be why Al wrote a script, because he was downloading from audio port instead of static.
Hey, you don't use the RSS.
I am using the RSS, but Rivendell can't directly download RSS feeds.
Because of the file name.
Yeah. Well, because nobody's ever added it. That's basically what it comes down to. So I've written a tool that I call Kachoda, which works with Rivendell to download RSS feeds like audio port.
And then you convert the file name and put it somewhere that Rivendell can understand.
Yeah. So if you would like to automate the download and import of RSS feeds, such as audio port or any other show that is a podcast style download, talk to me and I'll get you a copy of Kachoda.
Okay. Yeah, and so I can. All right.
I just have to say, this is the serious automation. This is the real one. You know, there are problems with other ones that are kind of invisible, like they don't have the label, you know, or things like that. Linux is so stable. I mean, and anybody who has a Mac knows that Linux is your operating system. Your bottom-line operating system on Mac is the flavor.
So when you say this is the Sirius, you mean Rivendell, or do you mean...
Not Rivendell.
Okay.
No,
just
Sirius.
Just check.
And it's so good, you know, and it's so versatile.
And it's really, really stable. You know, I've had a... Rivendell itself is stable, but Linux without Rivendell is really stable also. For example, I've had a Rivendell. Well, who uses the Sage alerting systems for EAS? Those are Linux computers. I built a Linux computer that is a studio to transmitter link decoder, so it sits up at the transmitter site. It's been running for 7 straight years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Without, so Sage is a Linux. Why can't I just have an app called Sage and never mind the $2,000 box?
Because the FCC has to certify that your EAS device works as advertised.
Oh, and an app can't be certified so well.
Right.
Okay.
You know, there is some, you know, there is actually a loophole in the rules that does allow you to build your own EAS. There is some rules around that. The problem that I think we're having, because there's been talk in previous GRCs about open source EAS.
Yeah, sure.
And something that I totally support, because yes, I believe that $3,000 for Sage is just too freaking expensive. But I think the open, those rules go back to the old days, back when EAS was just monitoring the stations, listening for the two frequency tone and then interrupting.
Yeah.
And these days you've got CAP.
Right.
And you got iPods, you got all that, and you've got, in order for you to bring a new piece of equipment online, you got to get a memorandum of understanding with the Federal Emergency Management Agency in order to access iPods. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be, I think that's one of the issues that we're running into.
That's the hang up, as you mentioned.
Right now is with open source EAS. And that's one of the things I wrote to, after that first national test last year, I wrote to the Homeland Security Chief at the FCC saying we need a way to harmonize and be able to encourage more LPFM stations to be allowed to build their own EAS equipment that is CAP compliant and can go on the air for a fraction of the price, because we had a very low number participation, very dismal participation in the 2016 national test. I haven't seen any numbers yet for the one we just had, but it was LPFM was called out by the FCC in that report as having set very dismal numbers. And I immediately got on the road on that because there is a way, you know, we could cut our EAS costs by one third just by using like a Linux box, a sound card, multi-channel sound card to monitor two or three radio sources, and somehow or another something that can interface with CAP, with the iPods.
That's all the DASDEC and the Sage are.
Yeah.
They're glorified Linux machines.
You're paying that extra money for, you're paying that extra money because of the lab testing requirement.
Exactly.
That's the reason why FM, LPFM transmitters are so expensive. One of the reasons is because you have to use a lab-tested transmitter in the LPFM service, and only certain models have been lab-tested for that.
And honestly, there's value in that lab testing. Whether it's the $2,500 that Sage charges for their device is certainly open for debate. But, you have somebody to go and point to if it doesn't work right. Mm-hmm.
So. You know, and at this time, I still support the lab testing for the transmitters because of all the crap that's being brought on our shores from China that's being sold on eBay, and the FCC is doing nothing to enforce and stop these sales. When I can go and buy a 25-watt pirate FM transmitter on Amazon.com, Amazon's selling them. As long as we have that, I have to support that requirement on ELK for transmitters. I do not support the lab testing requirement for EAS.
Fill out the eval form if you would like.
Is there a way to do cabin pause without internet?
No.
That's what it is.
No.
Because there's a lot of rural stations where the internet sucks.
Well, that's why EAS isn't going away.
Right. So can you be compliant if you're way out in the rurals and like there's no internet out here, but I can
hear a station? I don't think iPods and CAP are requirements yet.
I think what you'd have to do is if you would have to get some kind of a waiver.
Really?
You would have to get some kind of a waiver. I know there was talk about this years ago, and
I don't think they were required yet. I mean I haven't looked specifically, but. Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to participate in EAS without having to fill out all those damn forms?
Not that I know of. Are you talking about the national test?
Yeah.
No, they want you to do that. They're looking for feedback on how well it works.
Yeah, the national test thing is a fairly new thing. This was the second one that we've ever had.
Third. 2011.
Yeah, that's right. But in recent history, since a lot of these LPFMs have been on the air, the 2013 LPFMs, there's been two that I've been involved with. And what they're doing is they're testing the efficiency of the system. They want to make sure that the national messages are getting out. And especially with the way things are going in the world right now, you know, they want to make sure that...
Yeah, I guess that's pretty hard to argue.
They want to make sure that Trump can take over the airwaves anytime he wants.
Yeah, unless I walk in and pull the wire out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he can take over until I walk over and physically access my my equipment.